Oh, I'm ready for some leftovers. How about you, Emily?
Always. I'm always ready for leftovers. Some people I know won't eat leftovers. Do you have friends like that?
Unfortunately, I do.
Yeah, or won't take their food home. They'll leave a little on the plate, and I'm like, no way, I get excited to have my leftovers.
And yet, they're still our friends.
And then we still dine with them.
I'm Steve Garner, along with Emily Ashlam. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour. And John and I had the joy of talking about not only before Thanksgiving, but also even more exciting was the leftover show the following week from November 1987 until just last November. And you're taking over this wonderful tradition, talking leftovers with me.
Well, and maybe just a quick little nod to folks that had a... I guess you hear about Thanksgiving always being so jovial and family and friends. And, you know, I had one of those Thanksgivings that was tough. I always did Thanksgiving with my dad, of course, and this was our favorite. It was food focused. And so anyway, just a little shout out to those that may have had a loss. A loss, yeah. Or some kind of, you know, something in their Thanksgiving. But here we are. We survived. We came through. We made the recipes that made us family. And there you go.
That was all good. Did the boys participate?
Well, okay. Leo did have a rendition of his. He wanted to do the mashed potatoes, which we are fans of the potato ricer. We use that for ours.
Dad used that, I know.
Which was, and a gift to me. And of course, any gift that I got from my dad that was a technical item in the kitchen was commercial grade, so it was very large and rather clunky. Wonderful for a professional kitchen, a little trickier in a home kitchen to store and things like that, but it works very well. And Leo decided he wanted to do a scallion mashed potato, so he added some scallions and did quite a bit of chopping, and they were delicious.
And did he use butter and cream?
Oh, yeah. He kept telling me that he knew that you were supposed to do equal parts butter and mashed potato, and I couldn't do that. Too much.
No,
so.
Don't think. Like, well, we got 2 pounds of
that would be a lot of
two
butter.
Pounds of, I don't think
we
that.
Made them nice and buttery, but not equal parts.
And did you add some half and half for cream?
We did half and half. Scallion, a little fresh garlic. They were delicious.
So that was his contribution. What about
that
the other
his.
Boy?
Xander did not contribute. He, God bless him, love him. Xander's a very healthy kid, and he made himself some salmon, I believe, instead. Good. And you know,
but
there,
was there
you
at the Thanksgiving table?
He sure was.
Good.
Yep. Did his grateful notes.
So did
and
you
all
do
that.
The turkey?
I did the turkey. This is, and here too, these are, you know, maybe others have gone through this too. My dad did the turkey my entire life, and we always had Thanksgiving together, and this was it was not a tough turkey, but it was a tough turkey. It was hard to, you know, be the one to take
and
over that.
How did you do a traditional roast turkey?
I did a traditional roast turkey. I bought a pre-brined turkey.
That's fine.
And it was covered in this gorgeous rub. It had like paprika and all kinds of, it was really tasty. It turned out really well.
So did you have to do a lot of prep to it, or did you?
Not really.
No, this is good. Everyone...
I really didn't. I couldn't believe how kind of simple it was. Well, if somebody else brines it for you.
Now, you didn't spatchcock it or anything like that?
No, all right. I didn't. I just...
No fancy. Did you baste it during the time?
I did. I did some basting. I did a little combo of some olive oil and butter in, throughout, like every hour, I'd throw a little something on the skin and it got nice and crispy.
It did get crispy.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. Wonderful.
And then with all those spices and things, it was tasty.
So, could you tell us the brand of turkey you purchased?
I can. I don't know if it, I mean, you know, I'm like hoping my dad doesn't turn over in his grave, but, I got it at Costco. And it was a Diestel turkey.
Diestel, but they're fine.
And it
brand.
Was a Diestel turkey that that was doing some kind of partnership with Framani, who does the salami.
Oh, yes, that's
and
right.
Well, I don't know how the because there was no salami as part of it, but it was. I think that must have been the rub or something. But I gotta say, it was
really good.
It was really good.
We know that John and I had Heidi with the Diestel family on the show when they purchased Willie Bird.
Sure.
And she was committed to which I love as a small family farmer, really compared to the Foster Farms people of the world, said, no, 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 we're keeping it as local as possible. We love the Willie Bird family. We've known them for years and years. And we are expanding. We're trying to get into more markets, but we're keeping the name. We're not going to degrade the name of Diestel. So it's a great turkey.
It was really good, I got to say. Yeah.
And sides? What other sides did you do?
We did our potatoes. I did do, I have to be honest, I feel like I never quite nail stuffing, but it's like my favorite thing. This year I did like a mushroom duxelle ahead of time and kind of had that hanging out, like a pureed mushroom situation. And I threw that into the stuffing mixture rather than just kind of chopped. It gave it a nice moisture. It was pretty tasty.
Yeah. But it had some crispness. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Top.
Yep.
What? And celery and the things?
Oh, yeah.
Like
celery, onion, fresh sage, fresh thyme, all that.
What about dessert?
We did actually, and here too, I feel like, sorry, Dad, but my mom was actually an amazing pie maker, passed down from her grandma's recipes and all that good stuff. And she was kind of known as, she was the pie lady in our family. And so I always felt like I was supposed to make, you know, from scratch crust and do the whole thing. And this year was, you know, this was a more mellow Thanksgiving for sure. But we did, do you know Gold Belly?
Oh, sure.
So we got an amazing apple crumb pie brought to us by my stepdad and stepmom. And they, it was from somewhere in Connecticut. And I'm sorry that I'm forgetting the bakery because it was super fabulous. It was really delicious.
Yeah. Hey, Gold Belly, you're going to pay. Believe me, you're going to pay. But overall, we've been gifted several items from Gold Belly, and the quality is unassailable. It's just perfection. But when you add the shipping charges and that, it's not cheap. But if you don't want to take a risk of like, oh gosh, I'm not sure, go pay the big bucks and
it's
have
really
a fantastic dessert.
And getting things from all over the country.
And now to leftovers. Thanksgiving leftover recipes from Chef John S. You can follow along, class, online, because we've posted these recipes now. The turkey pot pie. Do you ever make turkey pot pie? You can buy the crust pre-made and just add the stuffing.
I don't. Do you?
Oh, yeah. I love making it. And I do make it. I make a gluten-free crust, and that's the hassle. But it's really great, and I love pot pie. Actually, I had pot pie a few days ago.
In advance
of Thanksgiving.
You know what? We did, too. We had a chicken pot pie. That's funny. I didn't realize it. But I have made a shepherd's pie.
Oh, so that's one of the recipes. And John used the Dufour's brand, the fancy French brand, which is expensive, but really great crust. And then we have the Mexican turkey noodle soup. This was one of his favorites. The Mexican soup, sopa de fideo. Means noodle, usually used in the plural fideos to mean vermicelli. So you can use angel hair or vermicelli in this John Ash recipe. And this is a beautiful recipe.
Yeah.
Next one, macaroni and cheese fritters. Now, this sounds like something kid-friendly.
This does sound kid-friendly. I have to be honest, I have not made this one, but it sounds pretty great.
Well, it sounds really good. Serve this with your favorite dipping sauce like marinara. Mm-hmm. The variations are infinite. Add some crumbled bacon, chopped jalapeno, cooked vegetables to the mac and cheese mixture before breading it. And then you can also put a little small chunk of ham or cheese in the center of each fritter before breading. This is a fun dish.
Something light for after the holidays.
Yeah. When you're ready to start your diet.
Yeah. Okay. That's the new year.
I know you know this next recipe.
I do know this one. This one, at the end of Thanksgiving, my dad would always proclaim, and then we can make turkey tetrazzini with all the leftover turkey. And we have made it a couple of times. And it's like a better version of tuna casserole or something. Absolutely. I mean, it's along those lines.
You nailed it. Let me just write what your dad wrote. He said the dish purportedly was named for Luisa Tetrazzini, an Italian soprano who was popular in America in the early 1900s. Beautifully plump. Plump. She once said, I must not diet. If I diet, my face it is sag. This is John writing. She loved rich pasta with chicken or turkey and mushrooms, and this dish was created for her by an unknown chef. All kinds of variations exist, including adding peas, toasted slivered almonds, and more. It's a wonderful dish to make with leftover Thanksgiving turkey. Absolutely. He always started. He's saying, you got to make the turkey tetrazzini.
Yeah.
The next one, risotto with Brussels sprouts, roasted garlic and lemon. This sounds great. I have not done this before.
I haven't either, but I don't know why.
Here was another one that kids would love.
Yep.
Turkey and waffles. Assumes you have some good leftover gravy. Could also add some quickly sautéed spinach to this simple recipe, and it's just what it sounds of. And this last one was a real ringer, and last week we posted John's What to Do with Cranberry Sauce.
Yep.
And it's one of his my favorite recipe packets that listeners can look at.
Yep.
If you have leftover cranberry sauce, you'll want to access one of those. The one we included in online today is Leftover Cranberry Sauce Crisp. Mm. Have you ever done this recipe?
You know what? I feel terrible. I haven't. I mean, my defense, he has a lot of recipes. But
does he have?
But I have not done the crisp. But
speaking of more recipes, to my left, I'm picking up this 7-pound book called Culinary Birds. Culinary Birds, the Ultimate Poultry Cookbook by James Beard Award winner Chef John Ish. This was one of my favorite
books. Yeah.
And if you want more turkey recipes than you can shake a stick at, there's more, like the turkey mole, which he always used to rave about doing. And there's some great sandwiches, like the Rachel sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, the Reuben, it's corned beef or in grilled rye with sauerkraut and Swiss cheese. And although he said he liked corned beef, it's nice to change it up with this version using turkey breast. It's one of his favorites. So that's the Rachel sandwich. You'll find that in the book. And then the hot brown.
Yeah.
Do you know about the hot
brown? One of his faves. Yep. He talked about that one a lot.
He did. From Louisville, Kentucky.
Yep.
And I kind of introduced John to this recipe.
Oh, I didn't.
Back in the 80s and 90s before he started working with Fetzer, who worked headquartered in Louisville.
Right.
So this was a famous sandwich that was made at the Brown Hotel and still is in Louisville, Kentucky. Started in 1926 by Chef Fred Schmidt. And it's basically bread, sliced turkey, a Mornay sauce, which you really need to do. Don't just do a cheapo cheese sauce. Do the right thing. And then it makes these sandwiches with some half-cooked bacon. I used pimento cheese.
Interesting.
To give it a more southern kind of flair.
All right.
So that's in John's book, The Hot Brown, which I love making. And then as a nod to my wife's background, which is Chicago, we always make, which we're making tonight. Oh, no, I'm not. She is. I'm not going to.
Let's be real.
I'm being real here. Is the Marshall Fields special turkey sandwich. Are you familiar with Marshall Fields?
It's only really from seeing it in the book, but
the famous department store in Chicago. And this was a staple at the Marshall Fields department store forever and ever and ever and ever. And it's a great sandwich. And basically, it's similar to kind of a hot brown, but different. Number one, it's a cold sandwich. It's an Opus face sandwich. Now, let's start at the bottom layer and move up. You start with a great rye bread, buttered rye bread. Hard to find great buttered rye bread around here. But actually, Mrs. Grossman's. Grossman's does a decent rye bread.
You're right.
I would go there. Then you have the layer of turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, following me?
I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm imagining.
Some head lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then some tomato.
Yep.
Got to have a fresh tomato. And there's some good farmer markets. Bacon.
Yep.
Swiss cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then Thousand Island dressing.
Yeah.
Yeah, great Thousand Island. And then some black olives with a toothpick spear.
Olives.
And that's your field special. It's an
That sounds
open
great.
Face. Oh, it's wonderful.
Something about Thousand Island and rye bread.
Just wonderful. Now, some people do chopped egg, chopped hard-boiled egg.
I can tell it's not your thing.
Well, yeah, it's okay, but I don't think it's really traditional, and we don't use it, so don't use it. And, of course, if you can get great pickles, which, forget it. Well, Grossman's has good pickles.
Yep.
But I'm talking like great, like L.A., New York.
Yep.
Serve those on the side. But it's really, potato chips are nice, too.
Yeah, oh, that
good potato
good.
Chips.
Yep.
So there's the field special. But John doesn't have that. I don't think he has that in the book. You'll have to
I
go
think
online.
So.
He has the hot brown.
You're right. I think you're right.
But he's got everything else.
Yep.
But if he would have done an update, I know he would have. Okay, there it is. And so you have all your leftovers online from John Ash. You have our stories, too. So have a great time tonight with your leftovers. We'll take a break. We'll take a break and be back.
If you're crazy about your pets and love your livestock, then it's time to visit us at Larson's Feed and Pet Supply. Hi, I'm Ken Larson.
And I'm Amy Larson. We have everything you need to keep your animals happy.
nutritious pet foods, and top quality feed for your livestock. Horses, cows, goats, chickens, llamas, whatever you're raising.
At Larson's Feed and Pet Supply, we also have a wide selection of toys, treats, bedding, and accessories.
And when you need some expert advice, just ask. Our team can help you choose the right products.
Ranchers, hobby farmers, and devoted pet people make Larson's their only stop for supplying everything necessary for happy animals.
Stop by today and see why Larson's is a local favorite for everything feed and pet.
We're just west of Cotati on Gravenstein Highway and online at larsensfeedandpetsupply.com. Order online for in-store pickup or delivery.
Larsen's feedandpetsupply.com. We're open 7 days a week.
Larson's Feed and Pet Supply.
Thanks to benefactors like Freeman Toyota, Read On Sonoma has grown from 7 participating schools last year to 12 schools this year. The number of students being served has more than doubled. 85% of Read On Sonoma students met their goal in the last school year, up from 43% just 2 years ago. Most importantly, average reading comprehension on quizzes is 91%. Freeman Toyota's commitment to these children's future is making all the difference. Designed as a fun and rewarding game, Read On Sonoma motivates students to improve their comprehension and reading habits. Reading is essential for success in school and life. Listen to this. The average fourth grader's reading level has increased by 3.5 grades since the 21-22 school year. These Read On Sonoma students reach the program's goal of reading at grade level by the time they finish fourth grade. Learn more about Freeman Toyota's dedication to educating all our children at readonsonoma.org.
Maum Fireplace Center, proud sponsor of the Golden State Warriors for over 10 years. Maum Fireplace Center in Santa Rosa features the most trusted high-efficiency fireplace inserts, including Enviro, Quadrafire, Regency, and Yodel. Find your flame at Maum Fireplace Center, 368 Yolanda Avenue, on the web at maumfireplacecenter.com. Maum Fireplace Center, we satisfy your burning desires.
Touchdown!
Mountain Mike's, the official pizza of the San Francisco 49ers, is the perfect place to enjoy the games. Happy hour specials Monday through Thursday and all Sunday long. Watch the Sunday Ticket at two locations, Cleveland Avenue in Santa Rosa and Mountain Mike's in Nevada. Order up their legendary crispy curly pepperoni pizza. Try their new sticky kogi wings or kickin' Korean barbecue wings. Online at mountainmikes.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
So I know a lot of people are saying, well, that was interesting, Emily and Steve, talking about the leftovers, but I can't look at another piece of turkey at all. Yeah. I want some great dim sum after Thanksgiving.
Well, I always want that.
Well, lo and behold,
thank goodness,
we have a person that can give you such a thing, and that's Michelle Wood, who is the new proprietor and owner of the Jimtown store. Thank you for coming in today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, it seemed like it was an eternity for you to finally get open. I know there was a long, prolonged escrow. Carrie Brown, who founded the Jimtown, as I recall, back in 91 or so, 1991,
yes,
was on the show many times with John Ash and me. We had a great time with Carrie, and I know that with the fires and with COVID and everything else, it just became like it's time to move along. And Carrie, I think, closed in 2019, something like that.
Late 2019.
And then, when did you meet Carrie? How did this come about?
Well, I've met Carrie multiple times because I actually was a customer, of course, at Jimtown. But formally, when we started the discussion, it was because I catered a wedding of one of her chefs for 9 years.
Okay.
This was tail end of COVID.
Okay.
And that's how the conversation started with her putting the store back on the market and
And then you came forward and said, I would be interested in this? Because you'd already been catering. You had your own catering company, didn't you?
Yes.
And when
started? For 10 years.
Okay.
Started in, well, 2014 or so, just started really part-time. And then about 4 years ago is when I started.
So that was this, so you did a catering company. Did you do pop-ups also at that time?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you'd moved. You were not. You're not a native Sonoma Countyan.
I've been here a long time. I mean, been here since 1990. So it's it's quite
pretty close.
Pretty close. Yeah. I mean, yes.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up. I was born in New York City, raised in the city, and then also Connecticut.
In Connecticut, and a Chinese American background.
Yes, mostly. Mostly Chinese. I mean, we spent most of our time in Chinatown, in the city.
Is that where you grew up, in Chinatown?
Mostly. I mean, we had a home in Connecticut, but we spent every weekend. All of our spare time was spent in Chinatown, in the city. Yes. We lived in Long Island until I was about a year old. And then my dad decided, well, let's buy a place in Connecticut.
Okay, nice.
But my grandparents lived right behind South Street Seaport.
I know that area.
Yeah, which is, it's only a couple miles. I mean, we walk to Chinatown, really.
So your grandparents born in China?
Yes.
And what about your parents?
My parents were, they were all, I'm first generation.
You're first generation.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
So that means you were grounded in Chinese cuisine. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
Did you work alongside with your mom or grandma and making things?
Oh, yeah, all the time, especially for New Year's and big events, holidays, we'd all be together wrapping and doing things in the kitchen.
I love it.
So you've made a lot of things in wrappers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. A lot of things.
So it's in your hands, memory. Correct?
Yes, it really is. And one of my key employees that's been learning a lot from me, she says, mine just never looked the same as yours. I said, well, you mind you, I've been doing this since probably I was 5-6 years old.
It was generational.
So. Yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
So when you bought the Jimtown store and it officially opened, did it open this past summer?
Yes, June 10th. So,
well, that's why I wanted to wait 6 months to see if you're going to make it
before
inviting you on the show. No. I'm kidding. It's not easy right now.
No, it's not.
But now in summer, of course, you got loads of bicyclists and everybody coming. And now the wet weather and cold weather, traffic's kind of slowing down. And that's why I wanted our listeners to know about you, because this is when our restaurateurs really need our support, is in the cold weather. Mm-hmm. And and what you're doing is exciting. When you made this offer and you said, I'm going to buy the Jimtown store, did you know there was going to be an Asian food component to it?
Oh, I always knew I was going to add the Asian component because I'm known for it. People, my catering business, they seek me out. People that hire me for weddings, they specifically seek me out for my Asian cuisine.
Can I ask, just hearing about weddings, what do you do for what? Are you doing dim sum at weddings? Are you doing
dim sum? A lot of times would be the appetizers.
Okay,
And then main course. This last wedding I did was a very banquet style, 8 courses.
Wow!
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Wonderful.
So yes,
that sounds great.
So you changed the name of the store slightly. What's it called now?
Well, so my catering business name was Dim Sum and Then Some.
Dim Sum and Then Some.
Yes.
All right.
And primarily because, and then some, I love all other cuisines. I cook many other cuisines. It's not just Asian. And it's the same with Jimtown. I wanted to retain the name because people just, they know it. They love it.
They love it.
It just didn't, in my heart, it didn't feel right to just eliminate that name. So it's now Jimtown and then some.
And then some.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's a cool riff on it.
It's a very cool name. Yeah. And so do you do both? You tell us about everything that you do there.
Yes. I mean, we have obviously coffee, pastries, breakfast sandwiches, burritos. I'd like to incorporate some more breakfast at some point, but right now it's mostly grab and go type breakfast because that seems to be our clientele at the moment. I'd like to incorporate some weekend breakfast brunches soon. But also do sandwiches and salads, also desserts, carrot cake. People have been this is my carrot cake recipe for years, and people have just been going crazy over it.
I love a good carrot cake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're a carrot cake fan?
Oh, I am.
Okay.
I
So yeah, they've been ordering. They've been calling. Will you sell a whole cake? It's okay.
Oh,
I guess I'm
easier than selling it by
right,
the slice.
By the slice, yes.
And if you could see what she's brought today, I know we're going to get there.
And sandwiches, I say sandwiches.
Yeah, you
did. Yeah. Gamut.
So when do you do the dim sum? Is it only on weekends?
People want it all the time. So
surprise.
My original thought was weekends only, but people come in every day wanting it. So it's okay.
And you can just whip it up right there? No.
Well, I mean, we make it in batches,
okay,
right?
And
then heat it right on site when people want it.
Very cool.
At this point, dim sum's available every day?
Yeah, every day.
Oh.
Except Wednesdays, because we're closed on Wednesdays.
Oh, but still, that was not initially how it was. It was only on weekends?
Plan was for weekends. But in the beginning, right away, people just kept asking every day, if you want it. We'll provide it.
We want to stay in business.
Right. Exactly.
So this was a kind of a career transition, as I understand. You didn't start in culinary. What was your background before?
No, my background was science. I have microbiology, chemistry degree. I ran laboratories, big laboratories, for many years.
Mm-hmm. And making cheese, you have to have an understanding of microbiology, don't you?
Right. Yes. So I did. I mean, my love of food really does come from working myself through school. Mm. You know, I worked full time, and I worked for an organic farmer to start doing farmers markets, and met Stephen Shack at Berkeley's farmers market, and he was selling cheese and yogurt and. So I'll have to say, Stephen basically poached me and said, you need to come work for us. So I did. I went and worked for them and learned so much.
And where did you work?
Redwood Hill Farm.
Yes,
oh,
Redwood Hill Farm. And we had the pleasure of having Jennifer and Stephen on before Stephen passed back in the mid-1990s. He was an inspiring man.
Yeah. They both were just amazing people. And when I was just about to graduate, when they were building the cheese plant out in Grayton, and they said, hey, would you stay on board for a while and help us get it going and get our cheese program? I said, sure. So I did help them. I was one of their first cheese makers.
Oh my gosh. So do you have, in your spare time, are you making cheese?
No, I would love to. I would love to. I was just talking to somebody about that. Eventually, it would be fun. When I can find some free time.
It's obviously a really important part of your development was making cheese.
It really was. And not just making the cheese, but being able to go to all the events. We did so many wine and cheese events and working all the farmers markets. You just see the abundance of produce and all the different farmers and what they have available. We live in a pretty... amazing place.
So you probably have a pretty robust cheese selection at the Jimtown.
I haven't developed all the retail yet. I'm still working on how to incorporate that. Right now it's pretty much what can be ordered.
I got it. Mm-hmm. And if we can't, can we get dumplings to go, like frozen?
I'm working on that as well. That's going to be probably in the next month. I'll be able to build up inventory to have frozen dumplings to go.
How about that?
Will you
guarantee me right now that I will have dumplings for my Lunar New Year's party?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
You heard it here first.
I heard it here.
So next year, what is it the year of? For the Chinese New Year.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't even looked.
I'm sorry.
Is it the year of?
I'm sorry. I blindsided you with
this
question.
No, it's okay.
It's no big deal. Wasn't it snake this year?
It was.
Was it the year of the snake?
Last year was. Wasn't it the dragon?
I don't know. You probably did some big thing in January
this year,
didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Did a big party or banquet or something?
We had. Well, so I was hoping that we would be open, but of course it didn't quite work out. So I did a pop-up. That was outside.
At Jimtown.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
What are you doing this coming January?
I would like to do something big there.
Oh.
Have a big, fun event.
Like a banquet? Cool. Like a Chinese banquet thing?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, maybe you need some ponies because it's the year of the horse.
Okay, yes. Oh, we have plenty of horses out there that visit us.
Yeah. Very cool.
Wow. Well, mm-hmm. maybe you could bring in like a Kentucky Derby theme, like mint juleps and Chinese. No, I'm going too far.
We've lost him. We've lost him.
I'm sorry. I need to take a break. Michelle Wood is with Emily Ashlam and me. Michelle is the new owner, chef, proprietor of the Jimtown store. It's called Jimtown and Then Some because she is a master of dim sum, which you can now get every day of the week except Wednesday when you're closed. They're at 6706 Highway 128 in Healdsburg. Now, for those listening out of the area, and we're coming up 101, how do we find this place?
Quickest way is to take Lytton Springs Road.
Lytton Springs exit off 101. Exit.
Yes.
And then?
And then, well, you can go either right or left. It basically takes you to Alexander Valley Road, uh-huh. and you'll turn left and just pass the stop sign. And we're up there on the left, right next to Hawks Winery.
It's kind of difficult to miss. Is there an old car that's still out?
No,
front?
Not anymore.
Oh, wasn't there an old red car or
yes.
something like that?
Yes, she took it with her.
Oh, Carrie. but isn't there, now there was, I recall on the roof, there was something like an arrow that said good food?
It still says that. I've just updated the sign with my logo. But the verbiage is identical to what it was.
Okay.
It says good food.
Oh, good. And,
nice.
And you're listening to the Good Food Hour.
It's full
KSRO.
Circle.
Yes.
Ooh.
Okay, back after this.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
Starting your own business can be challenging, but Exchange Bank is here to help. Hi, I'm Jim Curry, branch manager at Exchange Bank, where we invest in Sonoma County. That means helping local businesses to get started and keep growing. A small business loan from Exchange Bank can make all the difference when you're getting a new business off the ground and as you meet the challenges along the way. Here's Drea from DH Wine Compliance.
Since 2011, we've trusted Exchange Bank to help grow our business. From a line of credit to a commercial loan for our new property, they've been there every step of the way. Customer support is always fast, friendly, and thorough, and we love the personal touch we get. With Exchange Bank, we're confident we've got a partner we can count on for years to come.
If you own or are starting a small business, Exchange Bank is here for you. Visit exchangebank.com for more information. Exchange Bank, investing in Sonoma County since 1890. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 643948. All loans are subject to credit approval.
With the new IHOP value menu, $6 is all it takes to go to your happy place, where stacks of pancakes with bacon and eggs are just $6 every day. French toast, sausage, and eggs are, you guessed it, $6. And fluffy omelets come with a side of pancakes and only cost $6. Go to your happy place every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations. Available every day for a limited time at participating restaurants in the U.S. Hours may vary, no substitutions. Not valid with other discounts or promotions. Prices may vary.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KSRO, it's Recovery Radio with Dr. K. Dr. Kristen Kobinski and Chris Geiger from CPDAC discuss holistic approaches to substance abuse according to individual needs as CPDAC treats people of all ages and backgrounds working to break cycles of poverty, homelessness, and unemployment. Recovery Radio with Dr. K, Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KSRO. More information at KSRO.com.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following the early morning fog, we can look to fairly sunny skies to give us daytime highs in the mid to low 60s. In the evening, we can anticipate late developing fog to leave us with overnight lows in the mid to low 40s. Looking ahead, temps are expected in the high 50s and the low 60s for the foreseeable future. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
Steve has never been more excited. Not only the beautiful food that Michelle Wood from Jimtown and then some has brought Emily Ash and me, but I jokingly said to Michelle, knowing that she has a Cantonese background, I said, well, when are you going to start baking my favorite Chinese dessert, Dan Tat, which are the custard tarts? And you replied,
very soon.
And then you should have seen Steve's reaction.
I have made them for catering events. I just haven't had them in the store yet. But they will be coming very soon.
Okay, because I said, you're kidding, right? And she said, no. And I said, well, I've made them myself, and I know almost every Dan Tat bakery in San Francisco and in Oakland. I've made it my life's work. Everyone has a goal in life. and mine is to find out. Well, like Golden Gate Bakery in San Francisco. There's some great ones. But you really cannot find that pastry in Sonoma County. And it's interesting because we have everything else, but nobody has picked up the Dan Tat. We have the Portuguese-style tarts, which are very, very good. Right. But they're not Dan Tat. It's a whole different dough. So you're saying on the air for public record.
Oh, yes, it's coming. Truth be told, I've been waiting to buy a laminator because rolling out that dough is so challenging by hand.
No, it's really hard. and we've actually had several Chinese chefs on the air that have talked about this on the air and actually wrote a Chinese pastry book a couple of years ago that won some awards. So I always ask any of our Chinese guests whether they're going to be serving Dan Tat or whether they make Dan Tat. It's my benchmark dessert. So thank you so much for, even if you're lying on the air.
I feel like Steve's really holding you to a lot. He's really he's holding you to frozen dumplings, the Dan Tat.
What a demanding guy.
Very demanding today.
No, I'm really happy to hear that you're embracing Dan Tat and maybe having, and you said by next year sometime, we'll be getting a laminator. Let's do a GoFundMe so we can.
we really could.
Get Michelle a laminator.
Maybe somebody is closing and has a laminator. You never know.
True.
A lot of
Yeah. Okay. Oh. My daughter's favorite is Dan Tat.
How old is she?
She's 18.
Oh, and she's adult. She grew up with them then.
Oh yes.
Oh boy. Mm-hmm. Does she help in the restaurant?
She was working at the store. She left to go to college in Portland.
Oh.
So, but she was working literally to the day that we drove her to Portland.
Wow.
We worked together the lunch rush and then left at 3 p.m.
Families in the restaurant.
Well, when you start making them, hopefully it'll coincide with her visiting and we can do a ribbon cutting.
Yes.
For your Dan Tat.
Great.
And for those that don't really know what Dan Tat is, an egg custard.
It's an egg custard. Yeah, and very flaky crust.
Yeah.
And the Portuguese, this is a pretty similar style.
Similar, but I prefer the Dan Tat. There's a fragility to the custard that's very, very special. Mm-hmm. And bakers take great pride in these desserts. They're wonderful.
Yes.
The other ones, do you going to do any almond cookies?
We do almond cookie, but it's not a traditional Chinese because I'm trying to hit a lot of points for people. So the almond cookie that we have is gluten-free. Mm-hmm. So it's almond flour only because a traditional Chinese cookie has both.
Yes, it does. And you probably don't use, or do you use lard?
No.
Okay. Because a lot of the cookies you use lard.
Right.
For the shortening.
Mm-hmm. So people are loving that cookie.
Oh, good.
So.
Well, in the meantime, yes. I can get my almond cookies
before. See, he's just really, it's, here's another one.
leading up to the downtown.
I think you're going to see Steve soon.
So, Michelle, would you give us a survey of what is, you have brought in for lunch? And these are the same items that our listeners can get at the Gymtown store.
Yes. So their steam bao is a very traditional.
Let me hold this up to the microphone.
Yeah. Yeah, the one that you have mm-hmm. is called a goi bao.
Goi bao.
On the menu, we have it listed as a open face steam bao.
And this one?
That is a Thai basil chicken.
Thai basil. Maybe have a bite of that.
Steam bao.
Talk about what's in here.
So that is a non-traditional. The bao is traditional, the mm-hmm. dough. But I like infusing different Asian cultures in mm-hmm. into it. And so that's a very traditional Thai dish, Thai basil chicken. And so we put it inside of the steam bao. We also have the barbecue pork traditional love.
Would these have dipping sauces with them or no?
Not usually, but we do have dipping sauces. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're absolutely beautiful. It's one of the most colorful rounds of food here. It's very pretty.
And is this the roasted pork?
And that's braised.
Oh,
braised
yeah.
Pork. Braised pork. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is
has
delicious.
A pickled onion and cilantro.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Very flavorful.
Really good. That one's delicious. Yep. I love that with the
What should we go to next? What is this beautiful pastry dough?
So that's a scallion pancake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the famous scallion pancake. Mm-hmm.
So traditionally, scallion pancake has...
I've never seen it rolled up.
So this is a different style. A street food style. They roll it up and put some meat inside. This has a chicken meatball in there.
This will be my go-to.
And something saucy. Is it?
Hoisin.
Oh, it's a... Ooh, mm-hmm. lovely.
But scallion pancake traditionally can be served just on its own with a little bit of...
As an
soy
appetizer.
Vinegar, ginger, yeah, as an appetizer. Mm-hmm.
We had Kathy Fang on from the House of Nan King. Mm-hmm. They have a new cookbook, her and her dad published. Yes. And their scallion pancake kind of made their reputation at the restaurant when they opened in 1986, 1987. Mm-hmm. And it's still one of the biggest sellers on the menu.
Yeah.
People love the scallion pancake.
And this mm-hmm. one's fantastic. I love mm-hmm. the sweetness of the hoisin, right? Mm-hmm. And the little flaky scallion. It's sweet and salty and all the things you'd want. It's really tasty.
And remember, these are brought up. So this is not just fresh out off the off the grill. These have traveled really well. So thank you for reheating these items for us also.
They obviously would be much better if they were on site.
But
warm,
they're fantastic as they are. Can you imagine this coming out hot? So what is the filling again in the scallion pancake?
That is actually a hoisin chicken meatball.
A meatball? Mm-hmm. Oh, then do you switch up the flavors? Or this standard one?
That's a new one that I'm going to add on to the menu. That's actually not on
It's not
yet.
On the menu yet?
No.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. It should be.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Put this on now.
Yeah. I'm not talking and just eating is what's happening over
and
here.
And it has a little, I don't know what, imagine, it might have a little jalapeno or something. A little heat in it.
No jalapeno.
No?
I don't get the heat.
You do? I got a little heat.
Oh. I think you're getting the heat from the Thai basil chicken.
I think so, too.
Residual heat.
Mm-hmm. Residual heat. Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. Michelle Wood is joining Emily Ash Lamb and me in the KS Arnold Kitchen today. Her restaurant is Gymtown and then some. It spent about almost 30 years at the Gymtown store. And when Carrie Brown retired in 2019-20, Michelle came forward and retitled it Gymtown and then some and put a marvelous, delicious Asian addition to their already great menu. They're at 6706 Highway 128 in beautiful Healdsburg, California, back after this.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
At American Ag Credit, we're pleased to return a portion of our profits to our customer owners with cash back payments totaling more than $1.2 billion since 2005. That's a difference maker for customers like Braden Weens of Double W Cattle.
Working with American Ag Credit, knowing that I am an owner and that I do get that patronage, it's reassuring to me that they have my best interest in mind.
For more information, visit agloan.com/growyourfuture. American Ag Credit, your future grows here.
It's turkey season, and if you're not eating them, well, you must be feeding them. The feed store in Sebastopol has everything you need to care for those gobblers, as well as any other type of animal feed you may need. Equine, hog, sheep, goat, poultry, and of course, we're your one-stop shop for any and all of your canine and feline needs. We are the feed store with more than 100 years of combined livestock and small animal feed knowledge and experience. Shop with confidence at the feed store in Sebastopol.
You've got a huge event coming up. The food trucks are booked, the music's ready. But did you forget something?
Selfies?
Good guess, but how about protecting who you are and everyone there? Santa Rosa's SoCo Private Security brings peace of mind to everything from private parties to fairs and festivals. Our guards are licensed, insured, trained, professional, and dressed to make your event feel safe and special. Learn more at SoCoPrivateSecurity.com. SoCo Private Security, the new breed in security.
Hey fellas, feeling drained, low energy, or just not feeling like yourself? It might be low testosterone. At Game Day Men's Health in Petaluma, we help men like you take back their strength, stamina, and confidence with personalized testosterone therapy and peptides that get results. Just real science, real support, and real change. Game Day Men's Health, where men go to win again. Visit us in Petaluma or book your consultation today at gamedaymenshealth.com/Petaluma.
The opioid crisis continues to claim lives in the North Bay, where an average of 12 people die per month from drug overdose in Sonoma County alone. I'm Jason Walsh with North Bay Biz Magazine. This month, check out our section on addiction treatment and the efforts of CenterPoint DAC, the Drug Abuse Alternative Center, whose mobile units and medication-assisted treatment model are saving lives. But timing is critical and funds growing scarce. For those gripped by addiction, it's a matter of life and death at northbaybiz.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Michelle Wood is joining Steve Garner, that'd be me, and Emily Ashlam in the KSRO kitchen today to celebrate her new ownership of the Jimtown store, which she took over officially. Well, you took over officially a long time ago, but you didn't open until summer of this year.
Yes.
And was it June?
June.
Or June. Fabulous. So we're celebrating almost your 6 month being open next
almost.
December or
brand
so?
New.
Yeah,
brand
December, new. December 10th would be 6 months.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, we're pretty close.
We're pretty close
then.
Close.
Jimtown and then some on Highway 128 in Healdsburg. We've worked our way around to the sandwich. Mm-hmm. What's in the sandwich?
Sandwich, this is my version of a banh mi.
Oh, my.
Yes. Yeah. So it's got pickled veggies.
Look at that.
Carrots, that? Daikon, cabbage, cilantro, little spicy aioli. And this particular one has a lemongrass beef as a protein. This we also do a chicken saute and tofu. Nice. Actually, the tofu is my favorite.
Nice.
How do you I was a vegetarian for 11 years.
People always say tofu like that. Like, oh, I do like the tofu. I was just at a Thai restaurant the other day and I ordered a pad Thai with a soft tofu. And the waitress came over and said, I like it that way too. Like she was sharing a secret that she liked it with the soft tofu. And I thought, I love tofu. I think it's fantastic. Anyway, I just thought it was funny that you did the
funny.
Same thing.
Yeah, some people are just so adverse to it. They hear tofu and they're like, no, I don't even want to consider it.
Well, they haven't had, well, again, you don't need to be a tofu apologist anymore. Tofu is a noble, delicious food.
It really is.
And versatile as all get out. And you can braise it, you can barbecue it, you can broil it. It's great in soup. Mm-hmm. There's all different styles. If you don't like the soft, semi-soft, there's firm tofu. Mm-hmm. There is a tofu for you out there in Radioland.
I just winter time, right? So I've been adding on soups. I actually did a chicken pho for a short time during the summer, and it got too hot. And everybody said, "Why did you take it?" I was like, "Well, it's so hot. I didn't think anybody wanted to eat soup." But we have that back. And I rotated
pho on the menu.
Rotating,
nice.
This last week and a half, we've been having a spicy miso ramen.
Ooh,
and that also either comes with a tofu or pork belly.
Well,
and yesterday just had somebody have it with the tofu, and the family was like, "Oh, this tofu is just wonderful."
So if you've learned nothing else from this interview, embrace the tofu.
Embrace the tofu.
Okay. Michelle, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
This was wonderful meeting you, and thank you for the beautiful food, and
thank you
for
so
continuing
much.
The wonderful heritage of the Jimtown store.
Yes.
You're a noble person to have inherited and take it into a whole other level that's just glorious with the Asian food edition. So thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Emily Ashlam, I'll see you next week.
Sounds good.
As we celebrate National Microwave Day.
Let's do it. And air fryers.
Why not? And air fryer day, too.
We're going to talk air fryers.
Stick around. More great listening following the news. I'm Steve Garner. Talk to you next week.
Simpson Sheet Metal is helping local kids become million-word readers through Read on Sonoma. 85% of students met their reading goal this year, nearly double from 3 years ago. Our students read more than 591 million words, more than twice the national average. A special shout-out to Kenwood Elementary, the first school where all students met their reading goal. Congratulations and keep up the good work. Here's Barbie Simpson, owner of Simpson Sheet Metal.
One of the things I cherish most in my life is my grandkids. Spending time with them gives me such great joy. As they've grown, I've seen their reading skills and comprehension increase, along with their interest in the world around them. Being a grandparent is one of the greatest joys of my life.
Children who learn to read at grade level by third grade are more likely to graduate from high school and overall do better in life. Simpson Sheet Metal and Read on Sonoma, dedicated to improving children's lives in Sonoma County. ReadOnSonoma.org.
Are unwelcome guests causing a stir on your property? Don't let rats take over your home. Take a stand against these unwanted